Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Welcome to Hoovering, the podcast about eating. I'm Jessica Fostercue. Here I'm joined by an interesting soul for snacks and sometimes full-blown banquets. We share conversation and confessions, not just about food, but about gobbling it up, or if you will, hoovering.
Hey, my loves. This is all a bit of a last-minute treat this week for all of us. It's a Mother's Day special, and guys, I wouldn't normally do this, but just days ago, I realised I had the chance to hoover with none other than the nation's new mother, the icon, the actual, your mum and mine, Diane from Traitors. Diane Carson hoovering with me for real, and it's every bit as beautiful as we wanted it to be. First things first, thanks for listening to Hoovering. Extra mega thanks if you're my patron. If you have been for eons or if you're brand new, hi and thank you. You are the reason this podcast can carry on. If you don't know what I'm on about, go to patreon.com/thehooveringpod and see if you might be able to join in. Basically, it's where I swap loads of cool, exclusive extra stuff, including recently a whole bespoke extra episode, a special birthday one, with patrons who are people who donate as little as £2 a month. Not that that's little. I'm very grateful for those £2 is. And that means that I can keep running this podcast. I give away free tickets to stuff, discount tickets to live shows, some of my stand-up shows, little videos. There's ad-free episodes. Anyway. If you like this podcast, let alone if you love it, and if you are able to spare a few quid a month, please do join in. You can stream my last stand-up show, Wench, for free on YouTube now, so get on that, please. But mainly, I would love to have you come and see me do my brand new show on tour. It's called Metal. The tour is well underway. It's happening now. I've already sold out in loads of places, from Edinburgh, Norwich and Bath to Cardiff and London. But there are loads more dates, including a huge London date in June. And I'm coming to Birmingham and Brighton in March still. I'm in Manchester in April. I'm in Hull in May. I'm in Ireland, Dublin, Cork and Belfast, as long as Exeter, loads of other places. Come, please get on my mailing list so that you are completely up to date with everything I've got going on in terms of TV and radio. I've got an episode of Celebrity Pointless coming out. You can stream my episode of World's Most Dangerous Rose. That's on telly on the 24th of March, blah, blah, blah. Links to all these things, as ever, in the podcast notes and in a link tree on my Instagram at Jessica Fostercue. Oh my God, that is enough from me. Let's get into it. Diane is, she lives far away from me. I'm not going to disclose the location. I'm currently at time of recording in Scotland on tour. So this one was recorded remotely. God, what a treat it was. And surprise, surprise, we're having pink fizz. Hello, thanks for doing this, Diane.
That's a pleasure. Lovely being here.
it wouldn't be right if we didn't celebrate this hoovering with pink fizz. She's got yours. You've got yours. I'm going to open mine, see if I can make the pop.
Bloody opened this last night, and I've got a really nice fizz stopper. I opened it up. It actually flung up into the ceiling, landed, and it has cut my hand. Can you see this cut that's on my hand?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people think, oh, if someone drinks pink fizz, that means they're probably not that rock and roll.
Yeah.
You know, you think that's going to be quite, it's quite a cuddly drink. No. We are getting injured as a result of this drink choice. Thank you very much. I should be quicker at this. My dad worked for a wine company when I was a kid, so I learned to uncork champagne worryingly young. Okay, ready. This isn't champagne. It's Chianti Prosecco. Oh, it's a noise. And fittingly, actually, this isn't great news for my mum, but when my sister was a toddler, whenever that noise was made of an uncorking, my little sister used to say, "Mummy's pop." Fantastic. So you are all of our secret mum now.
Apparently.
Talk me through your journey with pink fizz. When we briefly met before, you told me a brilliant story about how fitting it was it turned out to be your downfall in Traitors.
Well, I think I have a very fitting story with alcohol in general. I'm sure I shouldn't touch it because I get the worst hangovers ever. And my dad was a dad that used to think if you introduce your children to alcohol at an early age, then it would lead to, alcohol abuse, because that's what they do in France. You know, we were there for a while and you know, children will have a little glass of wine with a meal and it's all fine. But sadly, when I was young in Northern Ireland, there was a sort of underage drinking. So basically, it just encouraged underage drinking. And I actually never liked wine at all. My dad couldn't get me onto wine. I'd spirits rather than wine. And then in my 20s, we used to take it in turns. Whoever I was with, we'd go out with mum and dad for a meal and we'd take it in turns to treat them. And Dad introduced me to Asti Spumante.
Oh.
Well, now, I know the proper wine drinkers will hate Asti Spumante, but I loved it. I absolutely loved it. So that's what I drank. And also, it was quite low alcohol, really.
Yeah.
So then I came over to England for Love That Went Sour, by the way. But he was a complete wine snob and did not like me drinking Asti Spumante. So he wanted me to drink red. But then we discovered Zinfandel Rosé, which apparently is not much better than Asti Spumante, but I drank that for years and years and years.
Great.
And then my friend started becoming very keen on wine tasting and trying, and in the world of wines, and she would have wine tasting at her house. And she would pair it with foods, and she was an amazing cook as well. And she just actually opened up my palate and introduced me to lots of other wines. Now, I don't drink white. I think white tastes like a hangover, and I know it's going to have a really bad effect on me.
I don't get on with white wine at all, and I'm not very good at articulating why, but my son's 8 and I must have articulated it badly or slash too honestly in front of him, because he once said to a group of adults we were with, friends, "My mummy doesn't drink white wine because it makes her too aggressive." But I think what I mean is I don't like it. I feel like it makes me very drunk very quickly in a way that I don't feel as, I suddenly feel sort of slight shifts in my, too drunk too fast in a way that, well, that's not fun. I'm not, you know, I'm a grown up. I'm not drinking to change personality. But I do like the taste of it, but it just doesn't agree with me, I don't think.
I think white wine, it just doesn't taste right for me. And it also definitely will make me feel very ill very, very quickly. There are certain grapes that don't agree with me. So a Pinot Grigio is just one I have to stay away from. Now, red, I've just got onto because of my friend Negromara, which is a really mild red fruity, you know, wine. Ooh, and it's lovely. And I can drink that. And that's Italian and anything like that. But actually, in the last, and it's not because of Traitors, in the last few months, I've sort of been drinking Prosecco, and pink Prosecco is sort of nicer. And I don't get the hangovers because I could have a drink, one glass of wine, a rosé, and have a horrendous headache the next day. And I actually probably think I really shouldn't touch wine because I can quite often get a headache on very little.
Yeah.
And it is synonymous almost with going out with my girlfriends and, you know, having a glass of wine, having lunch, even the shape of the wine glass, you know, I mean, this is, you know, for Prosecco. And I'd rather that than the flute because there's just something about it and something about the pink liquid. And I love it. And on a summer's day, you know, but interestingly enough, when we were living in France for a bit, French rosé does not give me a headache. And I don't know whether it's because we drank more over there as a thing, as French people tend to more sort of lunch and tea, it's not a problem. But or they don't use as many sulfites as we do. I'm not quite sure the reason for it.
It's so interesting, isn't it? That's sort of the chemistry of it. Who's to know? Well, where you were at then compared to now. I've got mine, I'm staying with friends and their house is amazing and full of lots of amazing knickknacks, but she's given me a miniature pint glass to have my fizz in, which looks fun.
Wow.
Yes. That's really sweet, isn't it? That feels quite French to have a tumbler. I'm going to try
it. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, that's lovely. Oh, I thought it would be sweeter than that. That is delicious. That is afternoon delicious. Oh dear, absolutely lovely. Oh, so many of the things you said that I associate fizz with friends, being with friends.
Yeah.
It's so funny the things that do and don't give you hangovers, but I just find the older I get, the more I think, well, is it worth it? It's a way up. Sometimes it's going to be so much fun, it's going to be worth it. But also I think just things tasting delicious takes priority. I remember as I was younger, I'd think, I didn't used to understand why people would have cocktails because I think, why do you want to spend loads of money on a tiny drink? But my attitude's changed completely. I'd much rather say, well, I'm going to go out and have one, maybe two drinks. They'll be small, but strong and delicious. I'd much rather do that now. Also, you've made me think of, I was bought for my 40th last year. I was bought as a gift, a wine tasting and a tour of a vineyard that specialises in pink fizz called the Bolney Estate down in Sussex. And actually, so how fascinating is this? I learned so much about how grapes are grown and how actually because of climate change, which is, you know, objectively awful, but one of the positive impacts for the UK is that there's like a strip of chalk underneath the earth. Right. And it starts, you know, it's always been in Champagne in France and that and it goes round all through Sussex and Kent and the south of England. So there's another, I think there's another vineyard called Chapel Down that's getting quite famous. Where it's getting hotter and hotter, their fizzy wines, especially their pinks, are getting more and more sophisticated. And we tasted some amazing. And we were given bits of cheese and all sorts of different foods to pair with it. Salty foods with these fizzy pinks. It was absolutely out of this world. And apparently where it's getting, it actually in Champagne in France, where climate change is exacerbated there, it's getting too hot, so their fizzy wine, their, you know, their wine is getting too alcoholic and they're going to have to start specializing in other things. Isn't that mad? So Champagne might lose its special, the name, you know, because it might have to turn into a completely different type of alcohol from there. Please, can you tell me about the catering on Traitors? I want to know about those lavish breakfasts and I thought sometimes quite sad looking dinners. Everybody talks about the breakfast because that's the only meal we really as the viewer get to see you have. And we see fruit platters and pastries and it looks quite exciting, but is it as good as it looks? And then for dinner, though, sometimes it looked a bit rushed and like a little sad bit of pizza. But I also want some real details on whatever that oblong vault of snacks were that everybody did a lot of kind of this conniving and they're planning and plotting around the snack table.
Well, interestingly enough, I think it will depend on who you speak to, because I know some of the contestants did not like the food at all. I am not one of them. I thought the catering was excellent. I think it provided for all tastes, vegetarians, vegan, everything. There was always choice. I would have probably a bit of a criticism about the breakfast. What you saw was amazing. Absolutely fun. But I think in hindsight, they really wanted that as almost like props because they would prefer you to eat in your hotel room in the morning. I am not a breakfast person. I will tell you why afterwards and you'd be shocked. I am not really a breakfast person. So when I get up, I don't want to eat. And if I'm at home, I'm generally at an exercise class or running. And I certainly could not be doing that if I've eaten. They want you to eat and then go to the breakfast and sort of chat. And they actually kept the breakfast on the all over the table, but they didn't want you to get up and walk around because you'd have been in front of the cameras, blocking the camera's view. And I'm not that big. You'd stretch right over to get. So therefore, it became awkward that you didn't, you know. And if you came down to breakfast very late, it was a bit cold. The warm foods were cold. And you got a hot coffee or tea in the morning.
That's the bare minimum requirement for me. I need a coffee before I can have a conversation, let alone cope with losing an ally, potentially.
Yes, exactly. So the chat was more important than the food. And I completely get that. All the snacks in the middle were like sweeties and Maltesers and crisps and things like that. But let me tell you, very few of those ever left because the best of the contenders would eat them. And there was fruit and stuff. But I honestly, personally think the breakfast was a bit of an issue. That was also to do with filming and your order when you came down. I thought the food was excellent and I was very impressed. And I'm not just saying that. Wine, however, never mind killing me, obviously.
Yes.
A bit cheap and a bit nasty.
Yeah, a bit cheap and a bit nasty.
I was worthy of some money spent on decent wine to kill me. But the rest of the time, I can't vouch for the beer and anything because I don't drink that, but the wine wasn't great.
Yeah.
But the catering, great. Super.
It's funny with things like that where actually, like, even if they hadn't used the wine to kill you and it had just been there, actually, even if it had just been there off camera, I think if you're taking part in something as adrenalized as that, you're such an emotional roller coaster. I mean, I've obviously never done Traitors, but the few bits of telly I've done, you're so kind of, oh, I don't know. You're in such a heightened state all the time that it's actually a really crucial bit of your day, that decompression bit. And I think if you're going to go, I think, expend a bit of expense on making sure people can have two nice drinks rather than go quality over quantity, guys. Hot tip for future episodes.
As a teacher, I do know that a lot of teachers will come in and have a glass of wine to unwind. My unwinding was a milky coffee. I never for alcohol to unwind ever. But what you're saying, heightened emotions. So God forbid I was at a funeral. Believe you me, for the wake afterwards, I need a drink because you've either been crying or you're just very emotional. And at the castle, you know, the one time when I was poisoned, I'd been robbing graves. Now, there's a lot of adrenaline running around after that. And then the round table is wild. I have never, ever been in a situation like that. I am not a nervous person. I stress, but I'm not nervous. But I would lift a glass of water and it was going so much like that at the round table like this that the water was spilling out all over the place. So therefore, if you ever see me lifting a glass, you see me like that because I actually couldn't hold it with one hand with nerves. And I am not like that ever. But it was incredible. So, of course, it's what you're talking about. It's not if I get down, if I'm feeling low or anything, that I'd never go for alcohol.
Me too, actually. I think I quite the opposite. I think it will make me sadder. I agree. I go really clean living, actually, when I'm sad. I think it's more that kind of adrenalized, I don't know, intensity. It's really intense. And actually, it's not dissimilar to after, because you do loads of exercise, and I'm really into PE as well, but after a huge workout of some sort, it's a similar kind of like, ooh, it's almost more celebratory, but it's a kind of come down from a high as opposed to
Or if I've done a long run and I'm feeling proud.
Yeah. Celebrate.
On a Sunday, I do a long run. And honestly, all I want to do is go to the local Indian and have a couple of Proseccos.
I love it. Love to hear it. You said you've got a controversial opinion about breakfast.
Yeah. My mum gave my sister and I raw egg mixed with lemonade every morning. This is in the 60s because at that stage, egg was meant to be good for you, particularly raw egg. And she mixed it with lemonade so you wouldn't taste it. So she thought. So every morning we would wake up, we would know we had to have that. And let me tell you, raw egg like sticks on your tonsils and stuff. And then you don't want anything else to eat. So I think that's the reason why I was put off breakfast. Honestly, Yeah. And she wasn't being mean, you know, this was, this will make my girls healthy, so you need to drink this. Oh, horrible.
Oh, my crumbs.
That's probably why I'm not.
Yeah, that does make sense. You're lucky you're still keen to get out of bed at all, to be honest, if you knew that was the first thing waiting egg. For you.
Yeah, yeah, that's what we
fizzy egg.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's going to ruin some people's Easter, learning that. No. So that's turned out not your breakfast opinions are totally rational and not controversial at all. But we did talk about having Mother's Day chocolate instead of pink fizz. And you said you don't like chocolate, or do you just don't like Mother's Day chocolate?
I'm not a lover of chocolate. I mean, I quite like white chocolate and I like crunchies and I can eat a Turkish delight, you know, the fries Turkish delight. But actually, our chocolate would no. Oh, and I like Smart. You know, the Smarty, we do, Easter's a big thing in our house. And I filled the house, by the way, with baskets of Easter sweets, including chocolate. But they're mostly soft things like, you know, I've got this recently. So they're Haribo Hearts, you know, things like that. And you can get Jelly Baby Chicks. That sort of sweet I like. But I do like the Smarties Orange Wee Eggs. And also Terry now doing orange eggs, because I think those are the only flavour of Smarties you can taste, the orange ones. So I can eat those. Well, it's not that I'm just not a lover of thick bars of chocolate. It's just, you know, I mean, all my family love it. My daughter-in-law's addicted to chocolate. So, and I get that. I get why people love chocolate, but it's not so much my thing, you know, not really.
Grandiose.
Yeah, but what would you sound like if you said it now in a big boy voice?
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Hey, lovely ones. I am interrupting my own podcast to share with you just a few of your most brilliant answers to my listener questions. I asked you to tell me about a time you ate something that you thought was something else. And we're going to start with this from Emma Roberts, who emailed us because it's a long one. Oh, God, it's brilliant. Right, here we go. Just going to read it out. My dear mum popped in to see me one Sunday in August and brought me a bar of chocolate. Oh, nice one, Emma's mum. She had eaten about one square but didn't like it. I sat down to read that afternoon and treated myself to the remaining 9 squares of chocolate because I was reading. I didn't really look at the packaging. When I'd finished, I didn't feel quite right. This already made me laugh. Okay, I looked at the now empty wrapper and discovered it was cannabinoid chocolate with one square being one dose. I had just enough time to register that I might be in trouble before I passed out. Oh, God. Oh, no. I came round to find myself undressed with my glasses across the room and my mobile phone on the floor with my mum frantically shouting at me. I have no idea how any of that happened. For the next 24 hours, I was absolutely twisted. I couldn't move off my bed.
I refused to get dressed and couldn't walk. My mum had to carry me naked to the bathroom to put me on the loo while I had the shits and vomited over the side of the bath at the same time. Wait for the last sentence. It's really short. The last sentence is, I am 42. Fuck me. Oh, God, Emma. That's really good. That is a really good answer. Oh, my cheeks hurt. I've got a jiggy leg. I've got a jiggy leg from laughing so much. My tummy and my cheeks hurt, Emma. Thank you. Oh, a few more quick answers. All brilliant. Ellen on Instagram just says, the grapes that were an olive situation. Excellent, describing that as a situation. Vicky on Instagram, a mate put a cube of marshmallow in my mouth in a supermarket in Hawaii, except it was raw fish. You got to be ready for raw fish. You can't be expecting marshmallow and get raw fish. Okay, and this is just snappily written, this from Henning on Instagram. I once found a big cookie crumb in my bed. I eat a lot in bed, so that's not unusual. Put it in my mouth, cat litter. I think I've also done that. Right, thank you for these extraordinarily brilliant answers, you absolute winners. Keep an eye on the socials at The Hoovering Pod on Instagram and on Twitter/X. We'll be asking you more things all the flipping time. Whoa. Let's get back into this smashing episode with Diane. I want to talk about eating growing up for you. It sounds like there was potentially, well, a very well-intended mum and one sibling, is that right? And yeah. Then, so what was it like eating growing up? Were you cooked for? Was eating something that was important? Was it joyful? Was it functional?
I think eating for us was functional. My mum didn't necessarily enjoy cooking or baking. I mean, she did. And they had a lot of, you know, parties and visitors around. But that was Dad who then did the entertainment. I know this sounds mad. He didn't cook. He was working or out playing sports. Mum did the basic cooking, but Dad would do the entertainment food. And if Mum had friends around, like she played bridge up. Actually, she only passed away in 22. She was still playing bridge at the age of 90. And
incredible.
They would do suppers, but it would still just be sandwiches and tray bakes and things. Mm. So, and we also had like the same food on a Monday every week and the same food on a Tuesday every week. The lady of routine. I also eat lamb because Mum had Sunday dinner, lamb, you know, for Sunday dinner a lot. So I've just gone off lamb. I can have it if it's like Turkish or Indian or Greek, it's heavily spiced and then it doesn't taste like lamb. But that was from Mum, really. No, Dad, they loved to eat out, but Mum had very limited tastes. I mean, she never cooked with onions. That is one of my fears, running out of onions in my house. I love onions, you know, and she never did spice. I didn't come across Indian food until I was at university. I was 20, 21.
Yeah.
But my dad loved onions, but sadly he wasn't allowed them.
Wasn't allowed them. No, too weird.
Unless he was cooking. And he also used to do steak Diane, because obviously I was his daughter and he
doesn't.
But it was funny, I mentioned this to somebody recently. We were talking about food. My dad was like the biggest personality in the world. He was so much fun. He was a nutter. He was chaotic. Loved to party. Every time, say Mum had made a cake and she wasn't that bothered whether it was a good cake or not, he would cover it in cream and all his decorations were in order. Like he would do, for example, a circle of, say, those glacé cherries. They would be every other one, and then maybe a chocolate button in the space. Everything was in rows. And I mean, his gardening was the same. He planted all of them in rows. And I still to this day don't understand that, because he was chaotic and he had the silliest sense of humor in the world. He was so easygoing, but his cake decorating and his gardening were all in like straight lines and rows and all.
Really regimented.
Yes. Yeah.
Wow. I think there's something really lovely about that, because it sounds like a really healthy, balanced
mind. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. That kind of like doesn't, it's not like it doesn't need the regimen in his life, but I, you know, he's really flexible and fluid, but actually there's comfort in that in some situations. There's something really lovely in that.
But I mean, we loved going out for food, you know, but mum just had to have fish or something very basic, you know. And then she used to say, this is the funniest thing about mum, she didn't have a sweet tooth. Oh my God, did she what? Ah, lied through her teeth. Oh, every time she did the dessert menu. And as she got older, she only ever had dessert. She didn't even bother lying about it anymore.
That's one of the things about reaching, you know, properly getting into your old age. I think, why not? You know, why not if all you want to have? My son tries to reclassify in the lockdowns. He was only about four. And at one point he screamed at me, I'm sick of all these mains. I don't want mains. And he tried to reclassify pudding as sweet mains to see if he could get just that at all times.
That's quite clever thinking though, really, isn't
it? Yeah, I suppose you've got to give him that. Yeah, we laugh about it now. But part of me thinks when you're an adult, you can do what you like.
Yes, exactly.
It's not my job then. And you can have all the sweet mains you like. You're a fitness lady. We saw your endless engine for running in that game with the tombstones and the spotlight on traitors. And you did some bedtime lunges at one point. But do you eat differently around exercise to fuel your exercise at all? And do you have any favourite things to eat pre or post exercise? Sounds like you do loads of running.
What we were talking about earlier on, you know, if I was going running, I certainly shouldn't be doing any drinking. And I've realised as well that actually, even if I had a drink, you know, say I was out with friends and I drank, say, even 2 days before, that will definitely affect my running. And to be honest, I'd rather be out running. So if I'm running, I've got some organised runs coming up and I'm also very competitive and I would not allow, you know, alcohol to be ruining that for me. So I would not be taking alcohol. As far as food goes, no, I don't really eat differently before a run. No, I don't. No, not really.
That's good. That's interesting.
The only issue I would have is if it's an afternoon organised run and I said to you, I don't want to run having eaten, I do need to have something in my tummy because I just think that you shouldn't like run.
Well, you can feel it, can't you? You can feel the absence of it, even if you're too nervous too, and you don't want anything too filling. No. Yeah, no. I do a silly thing called CrossFit, which occasionally involves a bit of running. But when you're doing it's sort of workout after workout over the course of a day, but even if you're just doing one thing, I think, and quite specifically, if I've not had quite often I don't really want breakfast until much later in the day, but I can't train unless I've had something, especially some carbs. You can feel your body using it. If you don't have it, you can feel the lights going off too quickly, can't you? Physically sort of powering down. So it sounds like growing up you had the same thing every night. And has that meant that now you eat the same things all the time, or do you live for variety? It sounds like you've rebelled from a lot of those things.
I am not a routine person in any shape or form. And equally, I love eating out, you know, so any opportunity to eat out, I will be there. I love eating out. I love the whole thing. I love dressing up, you know. But to be fair, we live a mile away from town, but I will walk in unless it's a busy road and it's not lit and it's a horrendous speed. And also, it gathers huge puddles at the side of the road. So if you're walking along and they decide they're just going to go very close to the footpath and you're soaking wet. So if it's raining, I worry about my hair getting fluffy. So I tend to get a taxi. But then there's part of me that rebels when I run down here or I can walk. But I will walk in, you know, during the lighter months, definitely. And hopefully it's not been raining and I get soaked. And I can walk in heels, so that's no problem. So I just walk down and, you know, go for a pre-dinner drink or whatever. I just love eating out.
Yes. It's so exciting. Have you got a favourite nationality of cuisine?
Mexican would be my favourite. I absolutely love Mexican food. I also love Indian, Turkish, Greek. And I once at Borough Street Market had Egyptian street food. Now, I still don't really know what I was eating. It was in like a little paper cup. It was delicious.
Oh, heaven.
I don't eat Chinese food. I used to get very sick after Chinese food. Now, looking back, you could blame the alcohol content, possibly. But then after a few more tries at it, because my family all eat Chinese food,
yeah.
My sister did. That was like her favorite. I didn't have any alcohol. So I think they must cook with something that doesn't agree with me.
Okay.
It just wasn't sitting right with me. So I think one of my kids says, oh, you're limited. You're this, that, and the other. No, it actually just doesn't sit very well with me.
It's up to you. It's such a funny thing with eating, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think especially within families, we're also brutally honest with each other in our judgments of each other's preferences. Yeah. But actually, it's an incredibly personal and emotive thing. And sometimes, well, you shouldn't need to have to be able to articulate why. But you're allowed to just not like, or you're allowed to just not like different things. But also, it is that. It makes it, it sounds more like actually it's a bit like we're talking about different types of alcohol. Sometimes you sort of go, there's something about that's not working for me at the moment.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Because it's not that you wouldn't like to be able to like those foods. It sounds like you'd love to. I've had a similar, very sad thing with pancakes. They just make me feel sick for about a day. And I love the taste of them. And so many people want to go for pancakes. And my son loves them and my partner loves them. But they're going to make, it makes me feel so rubbish. Unfortunately, I've tested it enough times to know, it's just not worth it. And I don't know what it is. Somebody said it might be the flour, like not fully cooked out the flour in the mix. But I'm sure I have flour and I've definitely not had any problems with gluten at any other time or anything like that.
So
there we go. Some things just won't sit right. And that's fine.
Well, I mean, I don't do fish either. I can eat fish fingers with copious amounts of tomato sauce. So that's not quite the same thing. But I'm very aware that fish is good for you. All my kids, thank God, love fish, all of them, and probably because their stepmom loves fish and so would cook it. My mom loved fish too, but she didn't give it to me because I just didn't eat it, and it can make me feel a bit iffy. But that's the one thing I will keep trying. I've tried all sorts of fish to see if I could like it, because I think we should all be eating fish, really. So as I still don't really eat it, apart from fish fingers, I'd now take omega-3 tablets because I worry about, you know, things. My dad passed away with Alzheimer's, so obviously fish oil is really good for the brain. I'm not eating fish oil, so that's why I take omega-3.
I take omega-3 even though I eat fish, just because I like the idea of having really oily joints like the Tin Man.
Yeah.
On that note then, do you think, I haven't asked anybody this for ages and it used to be a regular question, is there any food or drink that you think has ever been medicinal?
Oddly enough, my daughter is living here with me with her hubby and child because they're in between houses. She juices every day. Now, my daughter's skin is absolutely phenomenal. So I would love to juice as well. So she does green juices, she does sweet juices every day. And I honestly put her skin condition down to these juices. So I have asked her, I want some of her juice, you know, as well. So she's now making it for all of us. Now, I am obviously a lady of an age, but I can feel my skin feeling better. I honestly, I think my stepdaughter as well, she does skincare, like natural skincare, not makeup and stuff, but things that look after your skin. And it can be from the inside out rather than slapping on this cream as well.
Yeah, of course. Oh, no, I think even just drinking lots of water can really change my face skin appearance.
Well, I don't think this is probably more supplements, but I remember I had a little...
Well, look, listen, anybody listening, just to be clear, neither of us are a scientist at this.
No.
We're talking anecdotally.
No.
So don't copy. Okay, just to be clear, one of us is a clown and the other one is the nation's mother, her faithful mother. Okay.
Yes, exactly. These are all absolute opinions. And also, what might work...
They could be bullshit. What we're saying could be bullshit is what I'm saying.
Exactly. Yeah. You're quite right.
Yeah. But it's joyful even to put our anecdotes out in the world, I think.
Of course it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You just never know. I mean, also, you never know what's coincidence. I think with supplements, especially, people go, well, especially with fitness, you go, well, I got a new best time on such and such a thing. Or I got a new, you know, my body, I got this new visible muscle that I'd always been wanting to hope would pop out or whatever. And you think, but you probably started taking the supplement at exactly the same time as you started taking your training a bit more seriously or drinking a bit more water or sleeping a bit more to make sure you did, you know, it's very hard to tell, isn't it, whether it was the
Yeah,
the thing.
Exactly. Yeah, you're quite right.
Has anybody's behaviour when it comes to eating ever changed your opinion of them as a person, for better or for worse? Maybe someone's eaten something in a way that made you fall in love. Or maybe someone's drunk something in a way that... No, I don't think so then.
It's not actually what they're eating, it's how they're eating.
Yeah.
I discovered a friend of mine who will remain nameless, eats as if all the food's at the front of their mouth. And I'm like, oh, I've never noticed that before. So now I've noticed it. It's hard, you know. And I remember being a child, one of the families, we would always go on holidays together with other families and other kids. And this boy hummed all the time while he was eating. Very irritating. Really irritating.
Quite hard to do, actually. Unless that's a tick that you're born with.
Drove me mad, while eating,
I have a friend whose dad could make, he gave her, they call it misophonia, don't they, which is a sort of a genuine fear of hearing people eat, but because her dad was such a noisy eater, but she said he could even eat mash in a way that sounded crunchy. I don't know. I think there's something about the idea of eating with the front of your mouth.
It's just very weird.
It's giving me a little shudder.
Yeah, exactly. And once you've seen it, you can't unsee it. That's the problem. And then you're looking for it and you don't want to be looking for it, you know, but it definitely happens. It's very weird.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I mean, I don't usually feel self-conscious when I'm eating, but if I'm eating and I'm really hungry, I mean, I have a podcast about eating called Hoovering, so it can't always be dainty or glamorous. I was eating before a gig with a friend and we'd met up before to have dinner together before, but it turned out to be quite rushed and in the room, you know, it wasn't in a restaurant. We were both just having some sushi, actually. And I'd finished it and then I sort of, because we were talking as we were eating, I thought, I can't remember having eaten that, really. I hope I didn't eat that like a disgusting Viking, I said to my friend. And she said, no, you've got quite an ASMR way of eating. And I think she was politely saying she doesn't mind watching someone absolutely throw it in. But then some things, I think some foods are demand to be eaten in quite a, I don't know. I mean, I think there's something bizarre about the concept of eating something like a Snickers or a big roll, a cheese roll, trying to eat that in a sort of slow, meticulous way.
Yeah.
They're foods for hungry people.
Yeah.
Whereas there are other things where I think the whole point of them is probably to savour it and to pick and to, you know, to be mellow and mindful. Is there any food that you think demands to be eaten in a specific way?
Because my daughter's now living there, her family are living with us. Somebody, was it my stepdaughter? My stepdaughter's been living in Canada. So she's now back home and they'd come up to, her and her boyfriend come up to visit. And she said to my daughter, because I heard the conversation, you still divide all your food out into sections on your plate. So she keeps the potato in one place, the meat in the other, the peas in the other. I don't. I sort of put everything on my fork. The one thing I do, and I definitely do, and it's probably very common, I leave my favourite piece of food to the end, always.
That's just being sensible, isn't it? You want your last mouthful to be the best, one of the best. You just want to end on a high.
Yeah.
We're trying to make each meal have a crescendo.
Quick fire questions.
What would you say is the most annoying food?
Mushrooms. I think they shouldn't be on this earth. They have no colour. They look slimy. They taste slimy. What good are mushrooms?
Okay.
None.
If you had to eat one of these, which would you have? Three blind mice or a tree made of eyes?
Oh, the mice? Yeah, mice.
What's the most faithful food?
Cheese.
Lovely. What's the most traitorish food?
Mushrooms.
Yeah, mushrooms have come up twice. That's fine. That's absolutely fine. We get the gist with the mushrooms.
Or fish.
Fish.
I appreciate fish is good for you, though. Just the
fish. There's something conniving about fish, I can imagine. Yeah.
Now it's time for the big end question.
A terrible owl called Tristan gets hold of a nuclear submarine and the powers of the most demonic magician of all time. He can hypnotise people into dancing or showing us their bums, and also into doing real murders rather than the traitor-style pretend ones. All of this at the magician owl's bidding. No one can quite work out whether people are doing it because of the magic or the nuclear threat. But anyway, the point is, Diane, it's an apocalypse. But it's all agreed to have never happened anyway, but only if you, and weirdly it does have to be you, do all the invigilating for every single GCSE in Swindon, one exam after another, all on rollerblades with a mouthful of precious stones. It sounds impossible, but you do it. You're a hero. You go down in history as the woman who saved us all from the terrible apocalypse brought on by the magician owl, Tristan. Your reward in the moment, however, is the feast of your dreams. Now, this is the opposite of a last meal, because you've just gone down in history as a deity. You are the happiest you can imagine being. And you're also, because that was hard work, all that invigilating, and it took hours, and your mouth, you couldn't have snacks because of the precious stone. You're the hungriest you've ever been. So I'd like you to imagine what you would eat in the opposite of a last meal situation, if in fact you're actually the happiest and the hungriest you've ever been.
And so there's no effort. It doesn't matter who cooks it. Somebody can cook it.
You're not cooking it. Fantasy situation. The food doesn't, you can make food up if you want. There's no consequences. You can eat things that would otherwise make you ill. You can't get full. It's a fantasy.
Okay. So the first thing I will have will be cheese souffle, three times baked, because it is the most delicious food in the world. I will then just have a roast dinner. I will have potatoes cooked, roast potatoes cooked the way I do. Then I'm going to have ox cheek or pig's cheek, favorite cut of meat in the entire world. Then I want cauliflower cheese. I do quite like the chorizo and beans with sort of chili powder and a bit of oil in that as well. And then followed by probably as a pudding, because I don't really do puddings or desserts, my mum's pavlova. I can give the person the recipe. Then I want a cheese board, not a huge cheese board, because I've already eaten so much. And then I want one of my dad's best favorite Irish coffees, but not with whiskey in it, because it will be a Bailey's coffee, because they are the very best. And also all of this will have the best bottle of champagne that you can have.
Heaven. Absolute heaven. What a glorious answer. So much cheese. So much cheese in that. I loved it. I loved it. Oh, this has been amazing. From one mother to another, happy Mother's Day, and may all of our children remain, at least to us, faithful.
Yes, absolutely. And cheers to that. Lovely talking
cheers
to you.
Cheers to that. Lovely talking to you. Thanks, Diane. Hoovering Podcast. Wowzers. I didn't think I could love her any more than I already did, and it turns out I can. Mushrooms. Okay, make sure you're following Diane. I'm sure you are already following Diane. She's becoming an internet sensation. She is on Instagram as @Diane, aka Mum, and that is where you, if you're following her, will be the first to find out about all the really exciting projects she has got in the making at the moment. She's just been hosting the Brits, for crying out loud. She's got some really fun stuff coming up potentially, so do keep an eye on her Instagram. I'd love you to come see me on tour with my new show Metal. I'm coming all over the UK and Ireland, and I would love to have you there, please. My last show, Wench, is available to stream now for free on YouTube. Links to all these things, like always, are in the podcast notes. And whether you're a mother or another, we all had one at some point. Happy Mother's Day to you, dear Hooverers.
Follow us on social media at The Hoovering Pod. I'm on at Jessica Foster Q. Send us voice notes, pictures, WhatsApps to 07462 855 271. Email us, thehooveringpod@gmail.com. I'll be storing all your beautiful offerings up and discussing them in future episodes. Keep an eye on our social media for any specific questions and topics that we'll be asking you to contact us about. Links to everything interesting mentioned today are, as ever, in the podcast notes. Hoovering is presented and created by me, Jessica Foster Q, and it was produced by Laura Grimshaw. Until in 2 weeks, happy Hoovering.
Hoovering. A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.